How can it be reclaimed? How can it be rectified? What can we do to repair this? How can you and I be personally at peace with God? And is there any hope that the globe someday will be?
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
What does it mean to you and me that this tragedy beyond description occurred in Genesis, the third chapter? What are the terrible consequences of that fall? What does it mean theologically, and what does it mean practically that man has fallen? You and I are fallen creatures. We're creatures made in the image of God. We haven't lost that image, but that image is marred because of sin. Terrible and devastating things have happened to the whole biosphere, the whole sphere of living things, in particular, the human race, because of the intrusion of sin. What are those things? And is there any hope for man's reclamation? Can we be delivered from the implications of the curse? Is there a way out? Is there a way back to the tree of life? Is there a way back into the presence of God? Can I be delivered from the contaminating pollutants that were injected into my anatomy as a result of Adam's fallenness and transmitted to me through my parents? These are the questions we'd like to seek to answer. So today, for a moment, we want to look in outline fashion, just an overview here, a review, so to speak, a summary. We want to look at the substance of both of these ingredients, the substance of the fall, four great separations that grew out of it, and the substance of our forgiveness achieved through the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, and three incredible wonders that took place on the cross, repairing the severance, the separation, and the divisiveness that came into humanity's experience as a result of its sin. Do you see the outline? I want you to see first the fabric of creation has been fractured as a result of sin. That's the devastating consequence of sin. The fabric of creation has been fractured. Do you see how the fabric of creation is fractured? There's a fourfold separation. There's what I call a covenant warfare. We're at war with our God. That was the first great result, the first terrifying consequence of the fall of man, of the intrusion of sin into the experience of humanity. We're separated from God. God is separated from man, and man is separated from God. It's like we're covenant breakers, and we're separated from God as a result of it. There's a covenant warfare. It's theological. And there's a civil warfare. Not only are we separated from our God, we're separated from ourselves. There's an inward separation, an inward division. Man is separated from himself. That's personal. And then there's a cultural warfare. Man is separated from men. Not only are we separated from our God and from ourselves, but from our peers, those around us. There is hostility, and there is animosity, and there is warfare. Finally, there's what we would call cosmic warfare. We're at war with our world. We're at war with nature. Man is separated from nature, and this is environmental, from our environment. We'll talk about that for just a moment. And then the founder of creation is forsaken, and that's the basis upon which we can be reclaimed, and our relationship with God can be rebuilt. Now let's look at these for just a moment. First is what we would call covenant warfare. God is separated from man, and this is theological. And you see it in Genesis, the third chapter, in verse 8. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. Genesis 3 and verse 8, they hid themselves. They were separated from God. That was the first great, immediate, devastating consequence. The most terrible result of sin is that it cuts every one of us off from God. Man's highest destiny is to know God, to be in a personal relationship with Him. Our chief claim to nobility as human beings is that we were made in the image of God and are therefore capable of knowing Him and fellowshipping with Him. The most dreadful consequence of sin is that we are now separated from God due to our sin. This is the first, and it is the great separation. But then secondly, there's not only a covenant warfare, but there's a civil warfare. Man is not only separated from God, there's a sense in which man is separated from himself. This is a personal problem. It's as though a civil war rages within him due to sin. Adam could say in Genesis 3 and verse 10, I was afraid. He had an inward psychological reaction to this deep spiritual and theological problem which had emerged as a result of his defiance of God and his rebellion against God. This civil war rages within a man. There's a covenant warfare. We're at war with our God. There's a civil warfare. We're at war with ourselves, inward separations. Thirdly, there's a cultural warfare. Man is separated not only from his God and from himself, but from his peers. There's hostility. This is sociological. Sin is a deep-seated infection of our nature. Sin lies at the root of our personality. Sin controls our ego. Sin gives to us a consuming preoccupation with self. But what does that do? It warps and makes jaundiced our view of everyone else. We have this consuming preoccupation with self. And that warps and makes jaundiced our view of everyone else. It makes us possessive instead of expansive. It makes us biased instead of benevolent. It makes us selfish instead of sacrificial. And that can only destroy human relationships. And that's exactly what's happened on the globe. Tremendous divisions. And then the final separation is what I call cosmic warfare. Man is separated from nature. This is environmental. When he sinned, man immediately lost his full dominion over nature. He was to have dominion over the whole globe. He was the king of the earth. He was God's mediator, God's representative on the globe, and he was in charge of everything. All forms of life, everything was under his dominion. He immediately lost his full dominion over nature, and almost immediately the environment became hostile, marked by an agricultural sterility and animosity. Thorns and thistles and all the ugly things that produce sweat in the making of bread came into his experience. His environment became hostile. The great ecological debate of our day and the growing inaccessibility of natural resources to modern man is nothing other than a contemporary manifestation of this ancient separation of man from nature. Even the environment is hostile. Every facet of life has been infected with the devastating consequences of sin. Where did all of that come from? Where did this covenant, civil, cultural, and cosmic war come from? Why this devastating division? Why all of these walls and all of these barriers and all of this hostility and all of this hatred and all of this hurt and division and death? There's only one answer according to the Bible. It's directly traceable to the fall of man in the Garden of Eden in Genesis, the third chapter, and it's utterly unintelligible apart from it. Sin has caused this terrible fracture in the fabric of the creation. And these separations are like titanic sonic booms, shattering the peace God intended and setting the entire globe and universe aflame with warfare in every facet of it. How can it be reclaimed? How can it be rectified? What can we do to repair this? How can you and I be personally at peace with God? And is there any hope that the globe someday will be? And the answer to that is, of course, a very positive yes. This terrible travesty can be repaired. And it can be repaired on this basis. See if you follow me. I've been talking about all these separations, these divisions, these hostilities that emerged. I want you to see something. There came one final separation. It's unfolded in Matthew, the 27th chapter, and I want you to look there with me as we close out. Matthew, the 27th chapter, and it begins in verse 45, and we can only give an overview of it. There came one last separation. Now from the sixth hour, verse 45, Matthew 27, from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour, 3 hour period, from high noon until 3 p.m. And about the ninth hour, they began at 6 a.m. to reckon the time. And so it was 3 p.m. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, Eli, Eli, literally it would be, El is Elohim, E is the personal suffix. Eli, Eli, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Verses 45 and 46. Let's call that the ultimate separation. There came one last separation. But this was a bridge-building separation. This was a sacrificial separation. This was a benevolent separation. This was a substitutive separation. It was a separation that Jesus endured for you and for me and for all of humanity in order that we need never be separated from God again. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? As I look at that passage, I just want to give you this outline. I want you to see three incredible wonders that surrounded the cross in Matthew 27. I want you to be reminded for just a moment of the darkness around the cross, and then the forsakenness upon the cross, and finally the fruitfulness after the cross. One, the darkness around the cross. The Bible says from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land under the ninth hour. There's a natural and a spiritual implication there. The natural implication is this. You know what that was? That was the revolt of nature to what fallen humanity was doing to its creator. This strange pall of gloom overshadowed the land of Palestine on this special day. And midday, high noon, sixth hour, 6 a.m. to the sixth hour was high noon. Midday became as midnight. It was the revolt of nature to the shameless deeds of humanity against its creator. Nature refused to look upon what humanity was doing to its creator. There was darkness, an incredible miracle. There was darkness. But there was not only a natural but a spiritual implication to that. It means this: the darkness stood for the absence of the Father. You see, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1 and verse 5. But for a moment, just for a moment, the face of the Father turned away from the face of the Son. It's an inscrutable mystery and an act of incredible and unconquerable love. For a moment, the face of the Father turned away from the face of the Son. And in that moment, when the Son was abandoned, in that moment, sin's penalty was paid and inscrutable darkness surrounded the cross. There was darkness. But I want you to see, secondly, there was forsakenness. Do you notice verse 46? And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, and what it meant was this: my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was a question, by the way, that was asked more for our benefit than for His. It was designed to induce us to think, not Him, to think and ask the why of Christ's suffering and grief. I think we need to think more of God's thoughts after Him. Our thoughts are altogether too superficial. We don't think enough. They're too small. We think more about Pac-Man and pizza than we do about the things that matter in life. And so we're induced to think, why hast thou forsaken me? Here in verse 46 of Matthew 27 is the great separation. This is the ultimate. This is the last and the final and the ultimate separation. This is always the consequence of sin. There's always division. There's always separation. There's always hurt. There's always death as a result of sin. And Jesus endured it ultimately for us on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Forsaken is that word which means to be abandoned deep down on the inside. That's the very meaning of the word. Eg katalepo. Lepo means to abandon or desert. Eg kata means down in. Jesus was abandoned or deserted down in the inner recesses of His nature. Jesus, the Son, was utterly abandoned by God the Father, because that is the penalty for sin. It was G. Campbell Morgan who said it, and I've quoted him in the past. G. Campbell Morgan said, the beginning of sin is to forsake God. The end of sin is to be God forsaken. And Jesus loved you and me enough to endure that forsakenness for us. The end of sin is to be God forsaken. That's why Jesus was God forsaken. He was paying the penalty so that we need never pay it.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Are your eyes open to see Jesus Christ dying for you in your place as your substitute?
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.